live over the internet through BBS Radio. Thank you all for those who have joined in. This is the Wednesday question and answer call. We have a bunch of people on the phone line, and those who just joined in, feel free to announce yourself. And two more came in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don from Brexville. Hi, how you say, everybody?
Hi, Don. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hey, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don. A lot of people.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Always...
I want to say one more thing to you, Julia. You know what it is, because the same, that is, I guess, the same symptom for everybody when you get to know the stuff. It's kind of like sometimes you connect and sometimes you don't, and you know, you can go, you know, very little connection and a lot disconnected, that you don't feel good at all. It is like they compare it with tuning in with your radio to a certain frequency, and to figure out how to do that, you know, that is everybody's own call, but that's kind of how you need to compare it with, I think, is a good comparison.
Thank you. It's a good metaphor for it.
Yes, and you know, hold on to those moments that you know you can't connect. You know it's there, you know. Love yourself and just, you know it's there. You know, have faith.
And reaching out, I can also...
Let me first welcome this person. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan.
Hi, Nancy. Good evening, welcome to the call.
Hi, so much.
Hi, Nancy.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here, Nancy.
Hey, Heis, I like that thing you said once about trying to think with your heart instead of your head.
Yes. That's definitely another thing. When you just have the intention, you just imagine, you know, at times when you want to make a decision or before going somewhere, just when you go through a circumstance where you say, you're thinking too much, kind of like your mind is racing, then just pretend that your mind is in your heart, that you think through your heart, and it really makes a difference. It definitely has for me.
Tough habit to break.
And here we had a few more people join in. We welcome you folks, and if you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi there, this is Terry.
Good evening, Terry. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks.
Great. Thanks so much for being here, Terry. And we have a bunch of people on the call already, and it's a great atmosphere. And thank you for that you joined us.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Thanks for being here, Terry.
And we have somebody else. And welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Steve in Flagstaff.
Hey, Steve. Good evening. How are you doing?
Just great.
All right.
Hi,
thank
Steve.
You so much for here.
Hello.
Hi, Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hello there.
Hey, Julia. Julia?
Yeah? Yes?
The best cartoon for you to watch is Peter Pan. Just ground your feet and think like Peter Pan.
You're saying it's Seth, Dear Dad?
Yeah. Peter Pan.
Yourself,
boys. It's just really lonely, you guys. I lost my dog and my best friend, and I don't have any friends, and it's just really
hard. You got us.
Plain.
Yes, you got us, Julia.
Thank you. I think of you guys.
Yes, it can be very hard to go through. Opens up new ways and new doors. I welcome the person who just called in. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi, it's Don. I just called back, actually.
Well, we welcome you back, Don.
I was trying. I couldn't get the BBS to work.
Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Teresa in Wisconsin.
Hi, Teresa. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for
being here. Hi, Teresa. I'm another
Hi.
Teresa. I'm in Indiana.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Teresa, what part of Wisconsin are you in?
Near Chippewa Falls.
South of me. I'm in Superior.
Oh, who is this?
This is Don in Superior.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, neighbor. Nice to meet you, neighbor.
Likewise. And we had somebody else join. Hopefully, say a name and location.
Rosalie in Dallas.
Hi, Rosalie from Dallas. Rock to the call.
Thank you.
Is that Rosalie Tackett?
It is. How are you, Lynn?
Now, I'm not good at answering that question. Okay? But,
so, huh?
But
I don't think it's possible twice.
Since you, things I could have meant.
Since you asked. Go ahead, guys.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Golden Chicago.
Hey, Joel. How are you?
Fine, boom.
All right. We had two more people come in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Terry in Nevada, Minnesota.
It was two at the same time. I heard it was one lady in Minnesota.
Yep, this is Kim.
Hi, Kim. Welcome to the call. And who's the other lady?
Terry in Nevada.
Hey, good evening. Is it Carrie, right?
Carrie.
All right. Welcome to the
Carrie.
Call.
Thank
you. Carrie, wasn't that you that told me they won some money using our technique?
Yeah.
How much did you win?
IRS.
Yeah. I can't say right now. No, it wasn't all
that. Hey, Julia.
Yeah.
Do you live in an area where there's nobody, like no houses next to you?
There's houses, but there doesn't really feel like there's anybody in them.
Have you approached them and just made conversation, small conversation? Because you'd be quite surprised at how other people might be feeling the same way you are.
Yeah, this neighborhood's very strange, very closed off people. I have tried to make connections locally, yes.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend that, okay? I mean, you have to, it's a good thing to do in many cases. But what happens is, for somebody that is out there, okay, and that is interdimensional, and that does not have their energy grounded, they start knocking on doors. They let the other neighbors tune into their frequency, and they won't be comfortable with them, which is how people get burned in the stake in the old days. So, you have to be, you have to look at your ability to connect with people and make them feel comfortable, because if you go knocking on their doors, you can't ever take that back.
Well, how about maybe going to the grocery store and just like striking up a conversation with someone then?
Well, it's possible. I mean, normally I say yes, yes, yes. It's very good to do that and to network, but it's not for everybody. Like Julia is extremely sensitive and vulnerable, and many people will jump on that, either by judging her or taking advantage of her, right? Judging her. Now, I'm sorry, Julia. I shouldn't be talking about this publicly.
No, it's okay. I'm happy that you remember and that you care.
Oh, well, thank you.
Am
I right?
You are right.
Am I right in what I'm
saying? You are right.
I don't usually do that.
Is there any way to attract like positive people to yourself?
Obviously that's the goal. You got in on this line, so there's the first step, right? Hopefully we're positive.
I met a psychic woman for the first time, a month ago after being on the calls for a while. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Let me. Is Terry on the line?
Yep.
Terry, hi, is Terry here?
Yes, here.
I'm here.
I want to throw in one quick thing. You know what really works for me? I did it today, still just sit between the trees, connect with the trees, and it can give you a great, great groundedness.
Mm. Now, Hyde is one of those people that could knock on his neighbor's doors, and he would be okay with it, right? I mean, even though he's a space case in his own way, he is a really good, he's good at masquerading himself as being a really friendly human being, okay? I have my good days and my bad days. My good days, I can knock on the neighbor's doors. And on bad days, they'd be calling the cops. This is the problem with being, you know, in duality, you know. You know, you don't have to judge yourself. When you start really... I might as well turn on the tape recorder. It sounds like it's going to be profound. if I say so myself, you know.
Go ahead.
All right. Hang on a second. Let me... Joey, you're there, right?
I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You're not ready, are you?
I'm never ready.
The Never Readies. We could start a rock and roll band and call us the Never Readies.
Or the Never Ready Bunnies.
Yeah. And when people will come to our sets, we could spend the whole hour tuning up.
Sounds good to me.
Call it music.
Actually, I don't know if you guys realize this, but that's the trick behind these calls. We spend the whole hour tuning up. And I remembered something. When I was young, I used to go see folk singers who would be performing. And when their guitar string broke, that was the most exciting part of their set, because then they'd have to make something up and tell jokes and do things. And I remembered that, and I said, what if we do a whole hour of broken guitar strings? And here we are. does that make sense?
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, where the action is in the broken guitar strings. It's not in the perfection of the performance, okay? I mean, that's a different kind of action. But in this whole nonlinear world, did somebody come on that would like to say hello?
Oh, hi, this is Paula, Ozark, Alabama.
Hi, who else do we have in the Ozarks?
Who else what?
Who else is in the Ozarks?
Connie's
in Branson, Missouri. Is that the Ozarks?
Yep.
But I'm not in the Ozarks. People came down here. This is in the lower part of Alabama. And they said it looked like the Ozarks, so they called it Ozark.
So you're in Ozark, Alabama, because
Yeah. Everybody
in Ozark, Alabama is kind of like an Ozarkian, right?
Yeah. The land of Oz.
The land of Oz. Now tell me, do they all have accents like yours?
Yeah, worse than mine.
Oh, I think it's gorgeous.
I mean, I really like your accent, you know. You know, it's
mine
sorry.
Is more, I'm really originally from Mobile. There's different dialects everywhere.
I see. You have more of a Mobile, Alabama accent, right?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. You mean you're embarrassed?
No, kind of like Bilo, but La Bachelor.
I see. That's an you just did an Ozark accent, right?
Just a Southern accent, Alabama, I guess.
Right.
We can actually tell, you know, if you're from if you got the Mississippi dialect or the Alabama dialect, and and then the Georgia, they all have different
dialect,
yeah. You pick up, sometimes you can pick up on it.
Tell me, are the Confederates still active in that area?
Oh, yeah, they do those play enactment war, you know, Civil War enactment things, and
they,
I think there is, they don't really, you know, show the concept kind of racist, you know, disrespectful.
Oh, well, they'll get theirs, you know. You can't be a racist and be connected to the law of one, you know.
No.
Can't. No more.
I think a lot of people are getting over it.
Yeah. We don't have the Alabama accent on the recorder, Wynn, but...
I should start the recorder, right?
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is 6-12-213, June 12th, Winfrey in Sedona, Terry in Sedona, Heise in Magalia. Well, Magalia is in this country, isn't that right, Heise?
Just above Paradise, California.
Right. We haven't muted everybody yet. Anyone want to curse me out before we mute you all? This is your chance. Uh-oh. Good. No one's cursing me out. That's a good sign.
Oh, dang it.
What's that? Dang, Lynn.
I said, God dang it, Lynn.
God dang it. Until you need it.
No, God.
That's too much loving, okay? Now, you see, I'll tell you something. When I do like this and act with you guys like this, that inspires Dwayne. And then he says, I'm going to act like Wynn. Dwayne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And I don't think I act like Wynn at all. I think I'm so different from Wynn, I don't even know who I am anymore.
Well, I mean, there are things you do that I wouldn't do, okay?
Well, that's true. My mama taught me better.
Right. But then on the other hand, I don't think in my whole life I've ever used the word bitch slap.
Well, that's because you've never been bitch slapped.
Well, walked into that one.
Yeah,
well,
sure did.
Well, that may not be true.
You have to be a bitch to be bitch slapped?
No.
No.
Okay. Okay, Hive, can you star 6, Dwayne, please? Wait a second.
I'm going to the room again.
Dwayne,
room
thank
one,
you for playing along. Now, Dwayne is actually a good sport, so let me do that, okay? It took us a while to figure out that we could do it, and we did do it and succeeded at it without getting mad at each other. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that to any of you. Only Dwayne, well, I might do it to David and Mesa. David, are you there?
He ran away.
David, I see you there. Are you there, David?
Yeah, I'm right here. Hello.
Hi, David. Is there anything important you want to share with us?
About what?
That was it. Thank you.
Okay.
So knows that.
I'm sorry, you guys sit away from the phone and put it on mute.
David, I just wanted you to say hello to get some energy in your direction, okay?
Hey, everybody. How are you?
There we go.
Great. How are you, David?
I'm eating some grapes. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm cooling down. It's hot over here.
Hello, King David.
Hi, David.
Hello.
Now, those of you that are listening for the first time, we do move into a sacred part of this call. We really do. And this is kind of like the preamble so that everybody can get a little bit loose. In other words, we've all come here carrying the baggage of our day. Somebody asked me how I was doing today. And just before the call, I went to get our mail, and there was this funny sound in my car. And I said, I wonder what that is. And I started the car, and my fan belt had gone. So this was at 5 o'clock. So I was hoping I could get back here before it overheated, but I didn't. I got as far as the supermarket. And then we called the taxi, and I got in just about the nick of time. So my car is still at the supermarket. And when somebody said, how's it going? I was thinking of telling you all that, but I said, why bother? You know, one of the things I have learned over time, now I'm not saying this is true for everybody. I mean, you're going to mute you all.
Muted.
But is that if you're going to complain, there's two reasons to do it, and only two. One is the person you're complaining to can fix your problem. And if they can fix your problem, they are the right person. In fact, we called the cab driver. The cab driver happened to be a mechanic. He's going to come over tomorrow and fix my fan belt. And so it worked. But oftentimes, what people do is they complain and they pull someone else into trying to get energy and sympathy. Now, you're not doing it on a conscious level. And, you know, if you really got compassion, it would work. But oftentimes people do negative bonding. Oh, we'll never make money. Oh, life is terrible. Oh, the government is bad. Oh, the ETs are coming. You know, whatever they talk about. And I don't know if you guys realize this, but every single time you open your mouth, you are recreating your reality. Did you realize that? So if you talk about things in certain ways, that's the reality you're creating. And the problem is, and the reason we do it, not to judge anybody. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, and there's a reason for it. There are certain periods of your life where you feel really empty. You feel abandoned. You feel alienated. You feel nobody loves you. And you don't know how to lift that feeling. And one of the ways to get a quick fix on that feeling is to say something really negative to somebody who then agrees with you. And now, at least, you're not alone. You have someone else agreeing with how bad things are. And that will usually last a rather short period of time until things get bad again. It's like a momentary respite, so to speak, because somebody's paying you attention. And the thing about humanness is that attention is a commodity. So when we pay each other attention, when we do that, there is an energy that's shared that feels good. The problem is when somebody stops paying attention, it suddenly you go right back to the old pattern. And then you keep looking for attention, calling people up, seeing who you can complain to, who's going to feel sorry for you, and until you run out of numbers. you can't sustain the energy. You cannot sustain the energy by complaining. It's only a very temporary fix comes your way, and then it stops. You can only sustain the energy in co-creation. And it doesn't mean you can't say what's going on. But it does mean you can't. You know that feeling of desperation where you're just ready to give up to anyone that loves you? And then suddenly somebody says they love you and you give up and you become a burden on them and they say, what is this? I didn't expect this. You can't sustain the energy. And it takes a lot of self-discipline to hold your energy above your desperateness. If you're one of the people that goes through this, you can feel desperate inside. And I know the feeling. I've been there. In fact, I sometimes still feel that way. And so I'm not judging it. And I understand how it works that when you have that desperate feeling, if you do something and pull something in, you won't get something you want. And then once it's there, it's hard to get rid of it. It kind of stays there, and you get stuck. And that's how reincarnation probably gets worked on in this realm. So in any case, it's very nice when we can all come in on the beginning of the call and have that feeling of connection, and it's just always there. It never goes away because it's under the auspices of spirit or higher holograms, and as long as no one tries to control it, as long as you move with it, it just stays. We could do a whole call doing that, but really that part of the call is grounding the energy so that we can do this part of the call. And as you may know, tonight's the night, Wednesday night, where we ask questions. Let me just remind you of a little commercial that on Saturday, Carla is feeling up to doing another Law of One thing. And it's session 5. And these are awesome sessions. And for those of you who are of curiosity about the way the universe works, about who the Ra group is, this is probably next to the Elohim, the most powerful influence, maybe even more so than the Elohim. I shouldn't even say next to. There are times when the Ra group works more closely with this realm. And let's go through some questions here. And Terry's not ready, but let's just see if she's unmuted. Are you unmuted, Terry?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxy, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources. It's positive, they're positive, service to others, honoring the law of one. Join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is our joy to be with you this day, the 12th of June 2013. And we take a minute and we orient to the location and to the callers and to the people listening to BBS. And we greet each and every one of you. And we are available to each and every one of you who wishes to connect and wishes to be touched. And we are available to you for assistance. We need you to ask for what it is that you wish and need for the highest good. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. Let's see here. This is from Nikita Nevenov, who I assume is in one of the Slavic countries, but may not. And maybe I'll ask the question, I'll read what he said, and then I'll just give a short answer from my side, because I understand it, and then I'll turn it over to you. And Nikita says, is it possible to ask your sources the meaning of secrecy in spiritual teachings? I'm speaking mainly about the Eastern knowledge and Buddhist masters who reach a great level of enlightenment. However, most of their teaching, if not many of them, are closed for the masses, and even sometimes for Westerners in particular. So if you feel the question is interesting enough, I feel the Ra group will be more able to answer this question, since they are ascended masters. If these teachings, methods, and techniques are developed in order that a human become more enlightened and in tune with the universe, what's the purpose of hiding it for a selective few? And let me give my quick answer to that, and then I'll turn it over to our sources. There's two reasons why throughout history, maybe three reasons, why things were held in secret. One of the things is that if you have a positive group that's having meetings and coming together, the real teaching is not in the words, it's in the energy of the group. Just as when we're on this call, the real secret of this call is not in the information we give, but in the energy that comes in. And in a meeting with a group of people in a room, the energy will always go to, will be pulled down by people so that it gets lost. In other words, for example, on this call, when I was on George Norrie, and we were holding this energy on the call, and we had these great masses of people come into the call, the energy got really kind of stuck for a while until enough of those new people started to be able to hold the space. And otherwise, they were pulling on the energies of the people that had established the energy. So in the past, it was decided to be really careful about how you let new people into the energy, because otherwise you could lose it. One other reason is that many times these high spiritual things really catalyze every regular people, and that they would create enemies, hecklers, all kinds of stuff coming into the space if they did not maintain some kind of control. I mean, we can maintain, interestingly enough, on these phone lines, we can maintain a control that would be harder to maintain in a room, because we can mute anybody. We can knock them off the call. So, therefore, and it took me a little bit of courage when we first started doing it to be that, how would I say it? Some people think it's controlling. It's really not controlling. It is controlling, yes. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not controlling. It is controlling. It's not controlling, though, from a point of view of the ego or wanting power. It's controlling so the energy can hold on this call and that any person can't just destroy it, which they could if there was no ability to mute people. And there have been times when that's happened. And the third reason of secret meetings is it's in fact a negative group, and they're channeling the negative, and they don't want anyone to know. And there's a lot of groups that would present themselves as being positive who really are not, okay? So that's my answer, and let me turn it over to our sources and see how they would address this question. Thank you.
Thank you. I do see the validity in the things that you have mentioned. Assuming it is a positive group, the reasons would be that the individuals who are new to the study would not be able to understand the materials without the preliminary understandings. And so they would need to progress through the ranks or through the materials until the point where they would be able to understand at the higher levels. Another reason, as Wynn has mentioned, is that the material may be catalytic and hard to take for someone that had not progressed up through the gradient scale of understanding of that particular body of knowledge. Another reason would be that by holding these higher levels as a potential would give the people the impetus to study and to progress. If the materials were all made available at one time, they may think that they understand the advanced levels. However, they may not understand them in the full depth of what is being said, and they may disregard them before they have the full wherewithal to be able to interpret the knowledge.
Thank you. Next question. This is from This is from Michelle. We're confused on exactly what ETs are versus the Elohim, Ra, Council of 12, etc. When we think of ascended beings, are we still talking about ETs, but in a higher form? Or is there a big difference between the ETs visiting us and the ascended beings, creator gods? Do you know what I mean? So, are we really to fear them all? Would love to hear your take on this in a future call, perhaps. That's Michelle in Phoenix, Arizona, who we met at our dinner the other night in Phoenix. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you for your question. There are some writings which refer to ascended beings or refer to the Elohim Hora as ETs. However, that is not our general meaning when we refer to it. It is ETs are groups of individuals from other planets that have physicality, that have body structures, and they can, some of them move in and out of the third density and can arrive in the Earth plane and then depart. There are visitors to Earth, and it has not generally been disclosed that they are from other planetary systems. And they even have some underwater bases here, and they work with the governments. However, we get into areas that are of disclosure. A few governments have been referring to ETs and flying saucers and have been revealing some of the information. A person in Canada and a person in Russia, he dispensed some of that information. In general, when we refer to ETs, we mean these other physical presences that come and go to your planet.
Thank you. From my perspective, the Elohim and Ra groups are pure energies. The Elohim more thin than Ra. They're more, you know, there's a vocabulary thing where Carla Ruckert and I use density in different ways. I think of it getting thinner as you get higher. She says they get thicker, but she...
As you get higher in density, the more the light frequencies make up the body structure. Therefore, the denser the light structure. However, in the lower densities, the body structures are more chemical and are heavier.
Right, right. So, basically, as you go through the dimensions, you go through more physical bodies getting into less physical, more, as it gets less physical, it can move through dimensions more, it has certain agility, and to get into the really highest levels, it's all energy, there's no physicality, and ETs are in between. They're not at the higher levels. They are at some level of form in one of the other densities, whereas the Elohim group is, as far as I can tell from all our conversation, does not have a form. They exist in a formless state, although they can manifest a temporary form if it suits them. Is that kind of accurate?
Yes, as you get into the higher densities, there is still physicality. However, it is more and more made up of light frequencies and light bodies.
Thank you. Next question. And I'll answer this one very quickly. Somebody asked, who is Ra? I understand who Ra is, but who is Ra on? And that's from Greg in Michigan. And just for clarification, you know, when I started having communications with other dimensions, it was by and large the Elohim who were talking to me. And very occasionally, the voice that came through Terry or Daphne identified itself as the Ra group. but mostly the Elohim group. And then one evening, we were going to do a public channeling session, and Terry was doing it, and she kept telling me, they're going to have a surprise tonight, but we don't know what it is. They wouldn't tell her. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, what's coming up now? But in that evening, the voice coming through Terry said that because we had created a resonant frequency sensitivity to both group souls, the Ra group and the Elohim group, that the voice that was going to communicate to us had elements of both groups at the same time. And they identified themselves by the name Ra-An. And An came into it because the Council of An was the division of the Elohim that was communicating to us very often. Not the only one, but one of them, so they said. So this was a combination of that particular division of the Elohim and the Ra group. And, of course, it's not the entire Elohim. I don't believe it's not the entire Elohim. It's not the entire Ra group. But there's a section that they assign to work with us and this group. And would you like to give any clarification to that, our sources?
Yes. We have a number of areas of the Elohim and of the Ra that are available for these calls and can move in to answer questions based upon whether they have the ability to do the translation from the mathematical Elohim and from the area of the Ra group. So there is sections. There are sections of both who we are available on these calls. It depends upon the frequency of the question, and we are alert to be able to come through and answer questions which particularly are our specialty.
Thank you. Let's see what time it is. We got 12 minutes. David Farringer, the rock and roll guy from Grove City, was listening on BBS. Hi, Dave. And his question is, I would assume that one of the reasons our sources can answer our questions so quickly is they aren't bound by time. And to a degree, already have heard the question before we ask it. Is this correct?
This is correct to a certain degree. Then sometimes you will notice that we comment before the call, before the questions start on the call, on some of the areas that people are thinking about in the area of the questions. So we do pick up on a lot of it before the questions are asked verbally, as it is a slow time in your dimension. And it seems to us sometimes like it is very, very long, and the question burns into the framework of things before it is asked.
When you answer a question before it's asked, is that because you have picked up the question in the asker's consciousness prior to it being verbally asked? Or is it because there's actually a future that you've moved into and know that's going to take place in the future?
Well, all is the present. And so we see it all integrated, but within its own framework, within the present. So we simply see and grasp it. Also, sometimes it takes, since time moves so much differently for us than for ether density, but we get somewhat impatient sometimes and jump the gun and answer before it is asked.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And then Dave asks, I wonder, are our own higher selves contributing to these answers?
Your own higher self are working so diligently with your all that they do have an effect and help with the connection and with the obtaining of the information for the answer.
Thank you. So if these answers ultimately guide our lives to the degree of ascending to a higher realm, aren't we then going to the very higher self that the answers were coming from? Is this cosmic loop theory valid, or have I been watching too much Star Trek? Thank you.
All must be considered in giving the answer. If one layer is considered without the other layers, the information can come through differently and not be harmonized with the all. When it is harmonized with the all, you get a more correct answer.
Thank you. And Dave says, if I may speak on behalf of our 3D group to our sources, we love you too.
That makes us smile, our energy smile.
Thank you. Let's see. There was a question on Monday that I didn't quite finish asking. And it had to do with, there was a call on creation of the universe. And it had to do with the idea that we are creating our reality. And we are creating a little energy module in the matrix, which some say is your soul energy. And it wants to get bigger. We'd like, getting it bigger is meaning that we're evolving. It's looking for a way to get bigger, but it has to get through the next step. And so there's this process where we're all stuck in our little module, and we want to expand. We say we want to expand, and we want to know what the next step is for the expansion to occur. And I think the question is, how do we take the observation of our life and our life events and compute the next step of advancement in this process?
I think there are several different areas here that you're looking at. One of them is, how do you get bigger to overlook the whole scene? When you simply project yourself bigger than whatever the scene is you're looking at, or bigger than the city, or bigger than the state, or bigger than the United States, or bigger than the world, then you begin to get senior, senior look, an overall look. You could actually see your state or see the country or see the earth and see the different energies of the different cities. And to do this places you to have this facility, this skill. You are then able to get bigger than a problem. When you are bigger than the problem, then you can see the different aspects that make up the problem. You can go off and look for solutions that can come in from outside. When you are smaller than the problem, you are operating within all of the parameters of the problem, and you are bounded by the problem. And in order to find a solution to the problem, you need to go outside of the box which holds the problem, because the solution is generally outside. Or when you have a problem, you have one side and the other side, and you need to let go perhaps of one side. But getting bigger than the problem may take you into not just one side or the other, but may take you into a whole new look, so that you can see that there may be other solutions besides the two sides of the problem. There may be another whole solution that can solve both sides of the problem without having to win one side over the other. We have addressed there the ability to get larger than an area. And if you take everything with you in your consideration to attempt to get bigger, then you may have a very hard time and need, as Wynn says, to go through the various steps involved. However, if you simply leave everything behind, you yourself, and any aspects of the problem or the situation, leave them behind, and simply you yourself get bigger than the whole area and everything in it, then you can begin to find solutions that you may not have even thought of beforehand. It isn't a matter of going drudgingly through one layer or one learning after another to get bigger. There is simply, you can will yourself bigger. You yourself, without bringing with you all the aspects involved.
You know, one of the things is, what are you willing to let go of? I mean, people say they want that, but say, for example, to do this work I'm doing, I found I had to become very detached from life and death, from my own life and death and other people's, because in general, I care about people. And, you know, I realized that I couldn't let caring about people let me get drawn into everyone's drama, which I don't mind doing, because sometimes it helps people to get drawn into their drama. But I didn't want to let go of that, because people are going to think I don't care. But I had to let go of it. I couldn't do this. And it's like there's something to let go of. You say, I don't want to let go of that. And if you don't let go of it, it holds you in your position. So you can't hold on to it and still be detached. It doesn't mean you have to separate.
There's another option, and that is that you can detach from it for a time to go and check out the larger sphere. And you can always redirect into it at some later time, and may bring back with you more, a greater look.
Yeah, yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. you can detach, and then you can move into it, because it helps somebody to be personally connected, to talk to have sympathy, and then you can detach yourself again. And if people don't get mad at you, if they give you the freedom to do that, oftentimes people don't want to give you the freedom. If you move into that personal thing, and then you suddenly get detached, they get angry with you. So this is, everyone has to figure out how to cope with it. But it's very personal. It's not like, how can I say it? It's not impersonal. It's like a real world where people care about you in their life, and then you detach, and they don't see you, and you feel like they wished you were there, and then you get drawn into wanting to be there so you're not disappointing them. And then you get caught and feel trapped by it, and then you detach. And it's like kind of a, not like, for me, my experience, it's like a dance of moving in and around and about, because you don't want to be so detached that you're not there for people, and you don't want to be so connected that you're stuck. So learning how to move in and out of it with other people lets you do that. And at 6:58, we got to get off the air. Carla Ruckert and I are doing session 5 this Saturday. Those have been extraordinary sessions. If you, you know, we're looking at the raw material. We're going. I'll send another email out, and I'll tell you what we'll be talking about. And I thank you all for being here and supporting the work we're doing. And I hope the work is supporting you back. And we love you all, and they love you all. And as the Elohim say, we leave, but we do not leave. And I'll mute everybody.
Unmuted.
Thank you so much. And thank you.
Thank you. These little sea serpents saying thank you very much.
Good night, everybody.
Love to everybody.
Love to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank
you, Terry.
Thank
you, Juan.
Thank
you,
Terry.
Love you.
Thank you, hi. Thank you all.
Love you all.
Thank you so much.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Juan.
Thank you.